It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
There we go. I have this chronic thing right now, my nose being stuffed up. And there's no other, like, signs or anything. It's not getting, I don't think it's an infection because it's not getting worse. But it's just stuck there. It's really annoying. So I'm still going to sound out like this through the whole thing.
Well, do you have allergies or something?
No, I tried the allergy pills. It's not helping either. Anyway. Hello. Welcome to... Oh, I'm so tired today. The Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast that now comes in three delicious flavors. Original, cheddar jalapeno, and new pralines and beer.
Yeah.
Try them all.
I wasn't in favor of the pralines and beer one, but...
He hates pralines.
I was outvoted. Tony liked it, and Izzy liked it.
So. Speaking of which, I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 140, I believe.
What do you mean you believe? You have one job.
I know.
140, that's a big, roundish number. I feel like it's of significance. It's, if each episode was a character, we would have the maximum size tweet we could cope with right now. Okay, let's explain things for people who are just listening for the first time. By the way, I have not been drinking or partaking of anything else. I'm just really exhausted. That's a whole other story. For those of you just joining us, couple minutes into the podcast, that's weird, but anyway, we have a hat. It's magical, in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You email that email if you feel like it, with comments, questions, topics, things like that, and the hat, all on its magical ownness, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the email written on them inside of itself. They manifest in there. We draw them out at random and read them and discuss them till we're bored. That's the entire show. But William, first I have a question for you.
What's that?
What's up with Deadpool?
With?
Deadpool, the superhero.
I don't really know anything about.
Me neither. I need to find out. I should look it up.
I mean, I...
He's apparently dead already. That much I know. I don't know what his powers, other than still moving around while being dead, are, per se.
But why are you asking me? Is this a DC person?
No, it's a Marvel person.
Oh, well.
I think of him as fairly widely known, and I just don't happen to know, so.
No. Especially if it's Marvel. I don't know very much about Marvel characters.
I have another question.
And there's a lot of DC characters I don't know either. So.
I promised one of our listeners I would check with you today. I promised Sean. Do you know anything about the rumor that supposedly shining laser pointers up into the sky can really fuck up planes and like people will come and get you because they'll find out you did it and arrest you and stuff? Snopes is suspiciously quiet about it, which sometimes means it's true.
What I know about that is that it's not true.
Oh!
For one thing, laser, like from a laser pointer?
Yeah, like a laser pointer.
Even the best laser pointer you can buy is, the light's going to scatter after, I mean, really, you'd be surprised how
far it
won't
go. Well, I thought
that
was the issue, that it scattered and then therefore became more obstructive. But I guess if it scatters like that, same power over broader distance, it's going to be dimmer and dimmer and dimmer.
Right, I mean, there's no reason...
I don't understand how light works.
Well, my understanding is that the whole premise doesn't make any sense. If there's any truth to it,
there's no such things as planes.
if there's any truth to it, I don't know how that would possibly work, because the fact of the matter is, if you take a typical laser pointer that you could buy in a store or something that you would use for like a college class or whatever presentation, and you pointed it at a plane, it, you know, a bird flying close to the plane is not going to see a little red dot there. It won't go that far. It won't do that.
William, we're not concerned about the bird. We're concerned about
I'm making the a point that by the time it gets to a plane, it's like you might as well be shining a flashlight up at it, and that doesn't bother a plane.
All right, you heard it here. William says you're full of shit, Sean.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is...
I rewind it and listen. That's what he said.
What I've heard about this is that...
Sean's full of shit.
No, that the light from a laser pointer is going to be so dispersed that it couldn't possibly be doing anything. Now, that said, I have no idea. It's not like I've investigated it or tested
what
it or looked it up.
What if the plane is flying about 30 feet off the ground?
I don't know.
What if the laser pointer is haunted?
Why did Sean want you to ask me about this?
He didn't. He just asked me, and I said, I don't know. I looked it up on Snopes. I couldn't find nothing. And I said, I'll ask William, because he won't know either, and it'll be hilarious to watch him try and puzzle it out.
Well, I don't
you
know.
You knew too much this time. It's disconcerting.
I don't know the answer.
You did not answer my question about a haunted laser pointer versus a plane 30 feet off the ground, however. If anybody knows the answer to that, please comment on the blog, themagicaldoggyhat.com, because I'm curious about that. I have another question for you. How was your week?
It was okay. Why don't you talk about why you're so exhausted? You said that was a long story.
No, I said that was a whole thing. I, for some reason, slept really, really shitty Tuesday night. It may have been all the bratwurst I ate.
Why did you eat a lot of bratwurst?
Because it was there. It may have been... I don't even know what other things it may have been. It's probably the bratwurst. But I woke up at 3 a.m., and I got up at 3:30 a.m. So I was very tired, and in order to make it through the workday, I drank ungodly amounts of caffeinated diet soda. And today I appear to still be paying for it. My workout was a mess. I mean, I did it all, but it sucked. It felt like it was the first time I'd ever done it. And yeah, I'm pretty out of it. So they say it often takes two nights of good sleep to make up for one night of really bad sleep.
Okay. How are you feeling otherwise?
Pretty okay.
Well, that's good.
So how was your week?
I can't really remember. I mean, you know, I work. I do things with the, you know, my projects and stuff. But, you know, there's not really anything interesting going on there besides working on. You know, tweaking the script a little bit after the read-through, but that's... kind of done now. I'm just trying to figure out when I'm going to record, you know, the parts in the household, and then Mark, I'm going to help him record his part, so I have to figure out when to do that. And I've been...
It was a month, and for the first time in months, Mark left a comment on the blog so big that I had to moderate it before it could be put out there. Hasn't done that in a while.
Yeah, it seems like there's something happened that's important, but I don't remember.
Has anybody in your household played Gone Home yet?
Oh, that was the thing, yeah. Right, we've all played it.
You've all played it? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness!
But we can't really talk about it, can we?
Well, give me your impressions. We can't talk about the plot, per se, but we can talk about the craft of the game
because
and what you felt about the game.
Something really bothers me about what people are saying about it, but we can't talk about that because... it's a plot point in the game. Maybe we can talk about it afterwards.
We definitely should talk about that afterwards, because I'm really curious.
We'll probably forget.
I don't think I will forget.
The laptop that we had the game on did not process the game very well, so it was very jerky and not very smooth.
It's deceptively high-powered.
Yeah, so I'm...
Like, it's a very simple-looking game, but
I'm afraid that took a little of the... something out of it. It definitely had... I took it as kind of a retro 90s adventure game kind of thing. I mean, that's exactly what I felt about it. Like, you know, some people like to play those 8-bit 80s games.
Yeah.
This felt like the kind
of... Like Myst?
Yeah. Like, if you were a big Myst fan, which I was,
yeah,
you know, this would be your
retro
game. See, this
felt very different to me than that, because there was no real puzzle going on.
Well, it wasn't so much...
And, see, and honestly, I've had people, multiple people who have played it, and we have different opinions about what we think happened.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say was, with Myst, if you've played all of the Myst games, and not all of them were made by the two brothers that made the first one, you realize that they're really... There are really two camps, I guess. I don't know if there's two camps of Myst fans or if the developers just sort of thought of it like this, but there's kind of two things about Myst and Riven, and I put those two together because, first of all, they were both very good. Second of all, they were made by the two brothers that started the whole company, is that it's not just the puzzles, it's the exploration. And so a lot of people, the genre that they almost... pioneered. I mean, they weren't the first ones to make games in the genre, but after them, everybody wanted to make games like that for the adventure game genre, is what it was called for a long time.
There were a lot of attempts. Yeah.
There was a lot of those games, and we played many of them, focused mostly on the exploration part and not so much on the puzzle part. I mean, there were puzzles, but they weren't integrated into the story like Myst and Riven had, and they always seemed sort of thrown on and added on, and it was very clear that the people making these games, they were emphasizing the exploration aspect and not so much the puzzle aspect.
Yeah.
So playing Gone Home, and there's really no puzzle aspect in it, really, that didn't take away from its Myst feeling or whatever for me, because, like I say, a lot of the games that came after Myst and Riven were almost like that, more exploration than game puzzles anyway. Also the look of it.
I could see that a little bit.
And, you know, to me, the fact that it was set in the 90s was just a nod to the aesthetic they were kind of going
for. Well, and the whole thing is an homage. I bet there's probably specific homages to Myst in there somewhere that I'm not aware of. Because there were lots of 90s references throughout, very intentionally. Some of them very obvious and some of them very not.
Also, retro is the new normal.
New neutral!
Sorry,
that was a hipster quote we heard the other night at a table near us. Retro is the new neutral.
I thought the visual aspects, I mean, you know, like I said, it was really the moving around in the game was kind of jerky and stuff for us, so that kind of took away from the experience, I think. But otherwise, I thought the visual elements, I mean, graphics-wise were fine, but there were other graphic elements that seemed really... distractingly bad.
Really?
Well, you know, I this isn't giving away a spoiler or anything, but almost every drawer you opened had little scraps of paper in it. You know, like, that's what people do.
Yeah.
You know, all the drawers have little scraps of paper in them. There's a lot, there seemed to be...
Most of them you could pick up.
Well, and some of that didn't mean anything.
A lot of that didn't mean anything.
And I didn't think that was very good. The sound, in the game was not good and really repetitive. Although, keep in mind that because of the slowness of our processor and all that stuff, the game took us twice as long to play as it took you. So that means we heard the repetition of the sound loops and stuff more often, and that also took away from the thing. Now, the thing I can say about the game that was exceptionally good, I mean mind-blowingly good, was the script, I don't know how to describe it. The scripting of anything spoken, really, was well written and well acted.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
I mean,
there were some good performances.
So good. I mean, it's one of the best I've seen in any game anywhere. And also the script in terms of written matter that you would find was very, very well done. And that was really the strength of the game, actually.
I found the whole narrative, both I thought I liked the story in general, such as it was. But I'm just really amazed. In my mind, there are two ways you do a story in a video game. One is it's somebody wrote a story and they feed it to you in one way or another. And that's how most games are. The more recent ones, there are some now where it's like you get to make a choice and the story changes based on your choice. And to me, this is very much a third thing. I mean, you could make the argument that they put all the stuff in there, and if you went through and you found everything, you would have the information for the story that they put down. But the combination of the fact that you can't necessarily find everything going through, or you won't, and the fact that the pace and the direction with which you find stuff, I think, really influences the story. I seriously have had major discussions with people over points and what it hints at and what it means about the background of various family members and things like that. And I feel like the game very much empowered me to run the story, and at the same time, there was a serious narrative there. Usually those two can't go together.
I think our experience was different. I mean, I felt very much sort of led around by the story. Not that that bothered me. I didn't feel like there were a lot of choices. You can play the game in a mode where all of the doors are unlocked
and that
you can discover things kind of out of order. Or you can play it where there are certain doors that are locked and that you won't be able to unlock unless you go a certain direction.
And certain stuff that never, for some, like, I have friends, for example, never unlocked the safe.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And their story is very different that way
than what it was for me. Certainly lacking something really important, but.
And also people who, for example, when they went inside, they went upstairs first. And I'll admit, there were parts for me, because the thing is, I was also very scared during the game. Like, I don't know what it was. The game freaked me out. There were rooms and like, clues to follow I waited on, because I'm like, I'm not ready to do that.
Well, I have heard people say that, well, I don't know. I don't want to talk too much about that, because if anyone's going to play it, it'll sort of bias the experience.
You can really spoil this game, and you should, honestly, and I know you frequently beat yourself over the head for not expressing how you meant to express. It sounds like you were not particularly into the game. Like, you didn't consider it particularly impressive.
Well, as I said, well, you know, again, like the house, for example, didn't think the house was particularly well designed. I didn't have any creepy feelings about the game or playing it. There were a lot of elements that I didn't think were all that well done, but as I said, the scripted parts where there was speaking and the way the actor spoke the parts and stuff was really exceptionally good.
See, I didn't say this at the time because I didn't want to bias you to that degree. In my mind, if you were going to make a video game, this is the video game you would make.
That I would make?
Very much down to the way the gameplay works, the way it's crafted. This, to me, very much screamed your kind, not the kind of video game you would play, the kind of video game you would make. So, clearly, I'm way off base.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I'd say it is exactly the kind of video game I would make, which is why I'm so critical of it. You see what I'm trying to say? I mean,
sort of.
Because it is the kind of video game I would make, so I'm going to notice all the things that I would do differently. You know, the sound, I thought, was not very well done. That's something that I would do better. You know, the design of the house, I would probably try to find somebody who would make it really interesting, a lot more interesting than it was, and I would probably be really disappointed if in the finished product there was a lot of repetition visually or in the sound. You know, like, as you're playing for 3 hours, you hear the same sounds over and over again, or you see the same little bunch of papers over and over again in this drawer, that drawer. I don't think I would like that. I think that would kind of take people out of the immersive experience to see that kind of repetition. Now, you know, I don't know what went into developing the game. I mean,
I'm sure there were limitations because it was literally four people.
And probably a very low budget or whatever. And so I'm not being critical of them. I'm, you know, probably if I had a similar budget, I probably couldn't do as well. But I was extremely impressed with the actual writing of it.
Yeah.
That was very well done. And, you know, the whole idea, the whole approach to the unfolding, you know, storytelling or whatever was very good.
I felt that was very original.
Yeah, I just think it could have
played Myst.
The sound and the visuals both, I just think could have been, they didn't live up to the quality of the writing as far as I could tell. Had they done that, yeah, it would, you know, I would have enjoyed the game immensely. And just as you say, I'm sure I would have thought, wow, this is the kind of game that I might put together if I could write this well, because I don't think I can. But it was very well written and very well acted, and everything was really interesting. But
How did the rest of your household like it?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I can speak for everybody else. I mean, I think generally...
Did they tell you anything? That's what I mean.
Well, let's see.
I'm not asking you to gauge their mood after they finish playing. Did you guys talk about your reactions at all?
For a variety of reasons, I don't feel comfortable talking about what the younger person thought, so I won't comment on that. The older person... Well, if I talk about some of her experiences, then it's giving away things that I don't want to give away. Yeah. So, generally, the experiences were positive. I'll just put it that way. But I can't really get into the details.
It sounds like it was probably worth my $20.
Oh, well, yeah, it was worth your $20. I mean, it's definitely on the part of the other two people in the household. And you know, in spite of the things that disappointed me about it, it was a good experience. I mean, I'm glad to have... witnessed the exceptional writing and exceptional performances in it, because I thought
they were really good. How many journals did you find?
I don't know. I didn't count them.
There are 24. Supposedly, according to an interview I heard with the creators, one of them is incredibly difficult to find. I believe I found 22. I still want to go back and look for the others. Because again, having talked with people who played it since, and different conclusions some of us have come to about different things, I really want to look for more stuff. And I have found more stuff in the past, stuff that I missed the first time. Because there's no... Well, there is in some cases, but the clues to get you to things are very subtle in some cases, so you won't necessarily know unless you really sort of go over things with a fine-tooth comb. I'm still amazed, because that's the thing, to me, like, multiple people I know didn't get the safe open. And to me, the way to do that was, like, to me, that was one of the obvious things.
Yeah, pretty
straightforward. But then other people have talked about things they found, and I didn't find those things.
But to get the safe open, there is a certain place you have to go, a certain direction.
That's true, I suppose.
Kind of easy to miss.
See, I wandered around a lot, too, so I don't know.
But I'm pretty sure we went everywhere, so. I didn't count how many journals we found, but
you can tell if you look at the list of journals, because there's two columns, and they'll basically both be, it's two columns of 12, so when you start getting a lot, you can tell, because you can see how many blank spaces there are.
Okay, well, I didn't really look at any of that. I just went everywhere, and, you know, in this game, when you find a journal, it just plays, it just goes, so you don't, it's not like a book you find on the floor or something.
For the longest time, I wondered if it was a set order, and then I figured out it was not. For the longest time, I was like, so when you find the first one, it plays this. When you find, and then no, it's not. So you can really hear them in a completely different order.
Well, that would be a very interesting experience. I mean, I'm pretty sure the order that I heard them in, I mean, it made, you know, narrative, I mean, it was in chronological order. I mean...
Mine mostly was. Some of it was not quite.
Yeah, mine... I don't remember a single one being out of chronological order, which is what led me to believe that they're just always in chronological order, but if that's not true,
no.
I think that would be a really different way of experiencing the story, although I think you're going to come up with the same...
You might be too smart for this from your days of playing Myst.
Well, see...
Because there is, and they talked about this, like, you have free control, but there's lots of tricks you can do in a video game to say... Most likely, most players are going to look here first, and if they see this, that's going to make them do this. So there is a lot of, like, subliminal manipulation. In addition to the obvious things like, this door is locked, you cannot get in yet.
Well, another thing is, you know, I don't have to... And not just when I'm playing a game, also when I'm watching someone else play it. I don't have to experience a game very long before I start figuring out how the game itself works. Like... You know, like you were saying, being scared or uncomfortable while you're playing the game, not sure what's going to happen. I don't think I was into the game more than, you know, 5 or 10 minutes before I realized it wasn't that kind of game.
See, you know, for me, it totally was. I fell into the narrative. I felt like I was the older sister going through the house.
Well, which is obviously what you're supposed to do.
Very much.
But for me, I don't know. You know, you pick up on certain cues and you start to figure out, okay, this is the kind of game this is. So, you know, like, no, I can't really give an example.
Yeah. But not a lot we can talk about, people. Just go play it. Despite William's disappointed tone, if you take the tone out, auto-tune it, the words he's saying sound generally positive.
I don't mean to sound disappointed.
Your words don't, just your tone does. I think there's something weird with you, though. You came in a little punchy, too. I think you got something going on.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that.
That's a very important part of your week. All right, I got to go quick through mine, because there was some stuff that happened I'm trying to remember. Oh, my God. Is anybody watching Dracula?
I didn't hear anybody say they were. They probably
are. You're not watching Dracula?
They probably are.
I need some people, because people are abandoning it left and right because it sucks horribly, which it does.
Is that no pun intended?
But Trish just abandoned it after this last one. But this is my new thing. This is my new hate watch. Like, you know, Once Upon a Time, and then Arrow, and now this, because it's ridiculous. And they spend so much money and make it look so pretty and act so hard. And it's just, it's mostly like, yeah, there's only one fault to the show. And that fault is the writing/plot. Like, the craft of the show, it is shot well, it is acted well, it is gorgeous, but what's actually going on and the things people are saying is ridiculous, and the more it goes on, the less sense it makes. It's amazing.
Kind of like Sleepy Hollow?
No, Sleepy Hollow is awesome, fuck you!
No, it isn't.
I love Sleepy Hollow.
It is terrible.
I still love Sleepy Hollow.
It's just getting worse and worse.
Oh, no, see, I'm not making fun of Sleepy Hollow. I am along for the ride with Sleepy Hollow. It's ridiculous, but I like its ridiculousness. Dracula's just stupid, and you just laugh. I'm laughing with Sleepy Hollow. I'm laughing at Dracula. And this week, Almost Human happens this Sunday.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm afraid nervous. It's going to let me down.
Yeah, see, I'm very nervous, too. I saw movies. I saw two movies,
okay. I think.
Did I talk about Francis Ha last week?
Yeah.
Okay, then I only saw one movie. I saw Our Idiot Brother. May have seen trailers for it. It came out
a while ago. I seem to recall, yeah.
Well, they didn't do really good with the trailers.
Okay.
Because I had no interest in this movie.
Yeah, me neither.
Paul Rudd is a really stupid guy who does really ridiculous, silly, stupid things. And his family has to deal with the fallout. The end. That's how it was marketed. And yeah. It looked dumb, and I didn't care.
That is how it was marketed.
Super not how that movie was.
Really?
There were that aspects. First of all, it's got an amazing cast. I knew Paul Rudd. I didn't know Elizabeth Banks. I didn't know Zoe Deschanel. I didn't know Steve Coogan. I didn't know Emily Mortimer. I didn't know Rashida Jones. Just everybody's in this fucking movie. Adam Scott, who does really well in it. Everybody's in this movie. That's the bare bones of it, but what it really comes down to is Paul Rudd's essentially... I mean, it's not a super original thing, and it's one of those, oh, it's funny, and then at the end it tugs at your heartstrings kind of deal. It definitely is that kind of vibe.
Okay.
Paul Rudd is, yes, he's not that bright, but mostly he's just a very positive outlook, trusting kind of guy.
Hmm.
And so hijinks ensue. And his family, meanwhile, is kind of, or at least his sisters are all kind of, like, fucked up. And it's him, you know, it's standard, it's romantic comedy without the romance part, like, you know, he sort of waltzes through their lives and makes it hectic, but teaches them something at the end. Like, it's all standard fare. But given that, it was really, I liked it a lot. There's some great performances. It's pretty funny, but mostly I just enjoyed watching it. So, yeah, you can skip it. You can totally skip it. This is not something people need to see. But it was pretty nice. I liked it. And it's on Netflix, so what the fuck? Just go see it. Not you. You don't bother.
No.
Because you consume one piece of media a year unless your family makes you. And I'm counting Gone Home, even though they probably made you do it.
Yeah, they made me.
So don't waste it on this. But
you know what I've been doing all day, though, today? Because...
What have you been doing all day today?
Cause... Tonight we're doing screenshots and we're going
to... Oh, screenshots.
We're going to talk about a TV and movie...
If you hear some weird noise in the background, that's because the producer's playing some shit kind of loud.
TV and movie treatments of the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Oh, it is the time for that.
Yeah, it's really, actually, the 50th anniversary is the day after, you know, the 21st, obviously, because it's on the 22nd. But the 21st is when we're also recording then, so.
I mean,
we could put it off to the 21st, but we're going to do it tonight.
Just in case the Warren Commission gets to you.
Yeah, so I've been watching some documentaries that I hadn't seen before. Pretty interesting stuff. But I don't know what your opinion is about the whole thing.
I have my opinion about the thing is that it's been way too much time spent on it. And nobody has provided any interesting or new evidence since long before I was born. I've seen no movies on it. The only real thing I can remember seeing, and the most interesting one, was the Quantum Leap episode that involved it. And that was cool, because at the end he thought he failed, and it turned out that in the original timeline, Jackie had also died, and he saved Jackie, and that was what he meant to do, and then he leapt out. Spoiler alert for that episode, if you haven't seen it.
Well, Quantum Leap. Thanks for telling me about that, because I might want to mention it on the podcast later.
I believe he might have jumped into Oswald. I don't remember exactly. I just mostly remember the end, where Al explains to him that originally Jackie had been shot as well. But he might have jumped into Lee Harvey Oswald.
Who didn't really do it, I guess.
I don't remember. Hijinks ensue. I would assume not, because I think it would be weird to have Scott Bakula actually shoot the president.
Yeah, well.
Speaking of anniversaries, though, I did find out today Cabbage Patch Kids are 30 this year.
This year?
This year, apparently.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right. No, that's right.
That terrifies me, because I can't believe they didn't show up until I was 6.
No, that's right.
And also, I can't believe they're still a thing.
Yeah, that I can't believe that part, but no.
Because I got this from a commercial for Cabbage Patch Kids.
The one I got, because I have one.
Oh, you have one?
I got in 84, so yeah. But they were a big thing that previous Christmas.
Yeah, I never had a Cabbage Patch. I did have a stint where I was way into Garbage Pail Kids.
The cards, yeah.
Yes. That were technically stickers, but you quickly found out that it was a waste to use them as stickers.
Yeah, I guess they would be 30.
Yeah.
So 30 years ago, this Christmas season, that huge craze for Cabbage Patch Dolls. And it seems to me, though, that they were around a little bit before that, because I seem to remember going into some stores and seeing them before they were mass-produced with plastic heads.
And it's possible, like, just... The commercials claim they're 30, so...
Because I remember seeing similar dolls. Because, you know, they have plastic heads, right?
But yes, but then soft bodies, yeah.
But the plastic heads look like what the original heads look like, except...
They were made out of potato.
No, they were made out of cloth and stuffed cloth. And the dimples were, you know, they'd stitch it and pull it in so you have a little dimple. And
all of them had Xavier Roberts' signature on their butt, which I still find really creepy.
Yeah, I don't know how that all works, but
it's like a tattoo.
But when they started mass producing them, the faces weren't soft. They were these hard plastic faces, and I think they existed before that with the soft faces for actually a little while. Maybe they didn't. Maybe it was just like,
well, or maybe you saw whatever the original was and then it got sold to Mattel or whoever.
Yeah, maybe.
And that's when Mattel was counting from. I don't know. I remember them as the first thing ever where you adopted shit. That became a thing much later on, but, like, where you got adoption papers, and they were like later on, My Little Pony would take that, Weird Things on the Computer would take that, but that was the first, to me, like, you get to be the legal guardian of this toy, and no, there's even paperwork.
I really don't remember anyone else doing that before they did. I also don't remember there being a huge toy craze over the holidays for a particular toy before Cabbage
Patch
Kids. That's
hard to say. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't
that
remember.
May be an age thing. We may not remember because we were...
Well, I don't know. Because
we wouldn't
have
known when we were younger. But that's the funny thing, is that's the only part that appealed to me, and I have no idea why, but the idea that, like, oh, it's really mine, my kid, and
well,
I
yes,
adopted
but,
it,
but,
that really appealed. I had no need for a freaking doll, but the idea that it was a doll
but what about
that
the
was
aspect,
my child.
What about the aspect where everyone was supposed to be unique, you know?
Where you could, yeah. I did it kind of like that, too. Except this weird idea, American Girl still has it, too, that you want a doll that looks like you. Never. Ever in my life, from the day I was born, did I ever want a doll that looked like me. That sounds terrible.
Well, I don't want a doll that looks like you either, so.
Come on now.
No.
You kind of do.
No, I
you
really
kinda,
don't.
You kind of want a doll, you know.
No.
Look at your heart.
Look at my heart.
I think you'll find.
I'll find terror at the thought, that's what I'll find.
The biggest... Build-A-Bear experiment gone wrong ever produce a doll that looks like me.
Yeah, all that's right, a good question. So let's
we're running out
let's
of some shit.
Let's say Build-A-Bear had a Tony.
Build a human.
had a Tony and a William. And then
that's the one thing they mean. You can build any animal. You can't build a human at Build-A-Bear because suddenly that's creepy.
Well,
anthropomorphic raccoon, no problem. Little tiny baby human, freak the fuck out. What is that about?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. We should get to the
We build a podcast. All right.
You could build the magical talking hat. Put a little heart in it. But we all know the magical talking hat has no heart.
Put a little email in it. You put in a little email inside. What's it say? Do we care?
Craig wants to know,
Craig,
what would you say is the greatest achievement of humanity so far?
Our podcast.
Yeah, that's a little too easy. So let's,
Cabbage Patch
maybe,
Kids.
Maybe the second. Maybe the third greatest, then. Greatest achievement of humanity. That's a really interesting question.
Instant rice was pretty good.
I mean, there's a lot of...
Well, it depends on what you call an achievement, also.
And what you consider great. I mean, that's a really...
Because language was pretty awesome, but I'm not sure we achieved it so much as it just sort of fucking happened. See, just go back to civilization and think all those. Well, there's writing, there's the code of laws, there's democracy, I don't know. The Chalupa's not bad either. The Chalupa's are pretty good. Oh my god, I do have to tell you about one of the worst things that humanity has achieved, though.
Why not?
Because it was at work in our cafeteria yesterday, and apparently it was there today as well, but I wasn't at the cafeteria today because I went to the gym. It was a dessert treat. You're familiar.
That just sounds funny to me, dessert treat.
Oh, it gets weirder in its description, believe me.
Proceed.
You're familiar with Rice Krispie Treats, I assume.
I am familiar with those.
And essentially, Rice Krispie Treats are sort of a butter marshmallow cream mixture mixed with a bunch of Rice Krispies.
And they are delightful when done properly.
And they are. And they are solid sugar and fat, just, you know, with little crunchy bits. Like, that's what's going on there.
Wow. No, never mind.
Like, they're really, like, from a nutritional perspective.
Yeah.
They're just, they're diabetes in a square. Absolutely. But they're very tasty when they're done right, yeah. And when they're fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh is important.
Yeah, right.
Now imagine for a moment that you've made something like this, but with a little bit of a difference. First of all...
There's a twist.
First of all, you used a lot of marshmallow stuff. Like more than usual.
Alrighty
going
then.
On there. So it's a little more goopy and has what basically comes down to slightly stretchy frosting, like all in it. And second, instead of Rice Krispies, yeah. Now I know this has happened before, there have been alternate ones, but this time, instead of Rice Krispies, you used Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Puff cereal.
Okay.
The stuff that looks like Kix, but tastes like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Right.
Seriously, I'm going to be dead by sunset tomorrow for having eaten one of these.
Why did you eat one?
It was so good.
It was good?
It was so good.
Because it doesn't sound good. It sounds was so like this overly sweet, disgusting, rich, gross thing.
No, it was so good, but it's so what's wrong with this country as well. Like, pretty much the whole of what's wrong with America is in the dessert treat.
And
but
of course
my
you liked
favorite
it.
Part, and what really brought the whole thing sense. Home, the sign for them said, Reese's. New word, peanut, new word, buttercup, new word, treat.
Reese's peanut, buttercup, treat.
C wasn't even capitalized.
C, okay.
In buttercup.
Mm.
Yes. So I took some peanuts. And some little yellow flowers. And made a treat. Or as somebody suggested, they've been seeing too much Princess Bride, which led me to start referring to it as the Reese's Peanut Bahwah treat.
Are you going to keep eating these?
I don't think I can, because I'll be dead. No, I had to do it one time to try it out, but I don't think I'll do it anymore.
I had to do it one time.
I did. I saw it there, and I was like, oh, fuck me. And then I ate it. We all did. Like, the whole table got them.
I just really don't know how to answer Craig's question, honestly, because...
It's a little bit broad.
I mean, I suppose, if I can presume, he means, you know, I don't know, technologically speaking or something. But see, I don't generally think of a lot of the technological advancements to be great
what
achievements.
What about sociology?
No.
Come on, you love sociology.
Yeah, but I mean...
It's a great achievement.
You mean the science of sociology?
Yes.
Well...
What else would I mean? What other way did you mean that? No, I meant a specific textbook.
But see, science is... Science in general, which is a great thing...
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Has actually... I mean, when you really break it down, it's been with us since the very beginning. I mean,
what about those guitars?
Formalizing
that are like
it was
double
nice,
guitars.
No, I don't.
What about the Simpsons? The Simpsons is pretty up there.
Maybe it's because I don't really think of great achievements as things that belong to humanity. I mean, like,
what's the universe's greatest?
The whole
achievement?
Of humanity doesn't achieve things, you know. Small groups of people achieve things. And the greatest thing that small groups of people achieve is just, you know, in my opinion, just...
Okay, we'll narrow it down then. What do you think is Isaac Hayes' greatest achievement of all times?
What I was going to say was...
Come on, this is an easy one. You have two options, and you know which one's the right one.
No, what I was going to say was a small group of people, their greatest achievement is going to be in
French,
how they can, you know, make the world a better place in their little corner of the globe. And that's not necessarily going to include inventing something or some technological thing. It's going to be some way they raise the next generation of people, some way they find to solve a problem that their particular group was struggling with. You know, it could be a simple thing like, you know, at one point in history, someone figured out how to make nets. And when they did that, they also figured out a new way to hunt food, and they immediately increased the ability of their little group to, you know, be fed. That's a great achievement for that group. And, you know, you wouldn't call it a great achievement for humanity, but it's not really so much about the net or how much food they can hunt. It's the fact that as a group, they were committed to this project, so to speak, of making things better, of making the lives of their children better than their lives had been. And that, to me, is the greatest achievement that anybody can make. And that has nothing to do with civilization, so-called, or technology, or anything like that. And I don't generally see any of those larger scale or really, you know, things that most people think of as great human achievements to be all that impressive. I mean, they just are what they are. And sometimes they cause more problems than they solve, so.
The theme from Shaft, that's the answer we were looking for earlier. Isaac Hayes' greatest achievement was the theme from Shaft. Some people are going to say Chef on South Park. No. No. Theme from Shaft. Greatest achievement.
Alrighty then. So you want to draw something else from the hat? Or do you have something you want to say about the greatest achievement of humanity?
No. I have only joke answers for that. Because I don't believe there is a non-joke answer.
That's probably true.
I believe to answer that question confidently and specifically, not in some weird nebulous philosophy bullshit like you did, but to really answer that question, you have to be intensely myopic. And
yeah,
I do that. I can be very intensely myopic, but only for a joke. Because my whole life,
I think in Mosquito Coast,
that movie reference came up recently too. I haven't seen that. I feel like I should.
Very good movie.
Harrison Ford, right?
Brilliant in it.
I think that's where came from. My favorite interview with him. Oh my god, you reminded me of something.
Favorite Harrison Ford performances in that movie. I believe he thought at least one of the greatest achievements of humanity was refrigeration. Because that was like,
that's a big one.
That was like,
did some cool shit.
If you didn't have that, well, there were a lot of things you didn't have. In fact, that's what, in the film, that's what he decides he's going to bring to, third world country or whatever.
Yeah,
he's going to bring them refrigeration because that's going to change everything for them.
You reminded me of something very important, though, that I wanted to talk about.
Mosquito Coast?
That's what reminded me.
Harrison Ford?
Yes.
Refrigeration?
No.
Huge ice cubes that melt on the way to getting them where they're supposed to go?
Yes. No. Harrison
Ford. Spit it out.
Well, I'm getting there. Don't be biting my style, man.
Producer like that.
I heard Harrison Ford interviewed by the Nerdist, which reminded me, I don't do this very often, want to recommend specifically one or two episodes of a different podcast that I think people would really like if they would listen. I'm not saying start listening to the whole podcast if you don't want to.
Grapevine? Screenshots?
No, those suck.
Oh.
Come on, you set that up. No, it's a couple episodes of The Nerdist, and it's mostly one. I'll tell you the second one first. There's an interview with... There was a whole Marvel theme last week, and that's why this came up. That's why these are so similar. But there was an interview with Tom Hiddleston, the guy who plays Loki.
Mm-hmm.
That was very good. I like it a lot, and if you're a big fan of his, it's a good thing to listen to. So I would recommend that just because it's good. But that's not the main one. The one that I would really recommend to everybody, even you, is the interview with Clark Gregg, who's the gentleman who plays Agent Coulson.
I like that guy.
I like that guy, too. Everybody likes that guy. But here's the thing.
He's really likable.
It is, and it's exactly what you want out of an interview with him. You learn he's just as cool as you think he is. You learn the story behind him, which is enormous. He once ran a theater company in New York. He has written the screenplays for several major movies. He is married to Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He tells what is probably the most amazing two-part story of crazy shit happening behind the scenes at a Broadway play. that I've ever heard. Like, you get the whole picture. He's had a really fascinating career that we don't know about.
He's
so
done,
you get to hear
a lot
all
of stage
that.
Stuff?
A lot of stage stuff. That's where he started.
See that?
And a lot of screenwriting and a bunch of stuff.
That's why he's so good.
So it's really amazing to see that. And the third thing that makes it such a wonderful interview, he's really kind of a nerd as well. And so you get his take on him, like on the whole Agent Coulson thing and how people feel and what he thinks about it and stuff like that. And all of that together, it's just a great, it's exactly what you would want out of an interview with him. So I would recommend it. And that's the thing, like normally it's a one-on-one. And normally when Chris just interviews one person, unless I'm really fascinated by the person, I get kind of bored. Because I like the other guys to sort of mix it up and make jokes and stuff. But this one was really good. And yeah, just it's a good interview. You feel happy about it. And you learn a lot of stuff. It's cool. So I would recommend checking that out. Clark Gregg. All right. We got time for one more.
I mean, he's the only reason, really, I keep watching Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D. liking that show. I'm still liking that show.
It is improving. I mean, it's improving. As I said before, a lot of times shows like this and Joss Whedon-esque shows.
Yeah, Joss does this.
A lot of the stuff improves just by the accident of time. You know, it's, after a while, you have to almost have to have a character arc
and they
stuff.
Start to build. They just don't. they play it out very slowly.
But these characters, some of these characters are getting better a lot faster than usual.
Yeah.
Not all of them, unfortunately, but some of them are.
All right. This one is from Blood Sparrow.
Wow, it seems like it's been a while since we had one from her.
She's been busy. Pretending to be an old lady to trick evil princes. for those of you who missed that, from the producer there, apparently Blood Sparrow is awesome and was at the Parthenon.
Azure Talon put in a vote for the Parthenon, too.
Yes. Azure Talon is back at the hospital this weekend. Mm. Oh, we should have some good news about that. I think we talked before that he had the little bit of growth thing going on.
Mm.
They've discovered the amount of growth was actually within the margin of error for the MRI.
Oh,
so they're considering it stabilized.
Gotcha.
But so he's back. I'm probably going to try and visit on Sunday if you're at all interested.
Well, interested. I got to look at my schedule to see if there's something else.
Well, I haven't settled on a time yet either. I'm just Sunday afternoon, I think,
if
most likely suspect.
If there isn't something else going on, I'd love to.
Cool. All right. Anyway, Blood Sparrow says, Nerd cons. Do you attend them? If so, which ones? What do you like to do at them?
I don't attend them. I went with my brother and sister to a Star Trek convention in Des Moines once.
Oh, did you? Oh. How long ago was this?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been to two different things. We went to a Star Wars convention in Indianapolis. Oh, gosh. That's got to be 10 or 15 years ago. Well, maybe just 10. And the Star Trek convention was in Des Moines, and I don't remember how long ago that was, although it was probably a year or two before the guy who plays Scotty. Is that James Doohan? Is his first name James?
Yes.
He was there.
Oh, he was? Okay.
But he wasn't, you know, he was, you could tell there was something not quite right with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Although his wife had just had a baby, so that was really weird. But anyway, he had passed away like a year or two later, so that'll give you an idea how long ago that was. And but I think the Star Wars convention was before that. I think they call them Star Wars Celebrations, and this was either like the second one they'd ever had or something.
That sounds familiar as a title, yeah.
But these are the only two things I've been to. I went.
So they were very product specific.
Oh yeah,
all right,
both of them. And I went with. Basically, I was going with them. I mean, it's not something I would have gone. Oh, the Star Wars one. We were there in the same weekend that the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man was released.
Okay.
So that'll give you an idea when that was. Because we saw Spider-Man in Indianapolis. And both times, I mean, we didn't get in line to get autographs or anything like that.
Yeah,
I mean, we didn't dress up. I mean, we just went.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we went to the place where the vendor section where people are selling things.
Yeah.
Actually, I did go also to Anime Iowa once. Mark was working there. But I wasn't there very long. So, I mean, I guess even though I've been technically to these two or three things, I didn't really do anything. I just sort of walked around and looked around to see what it was about, and then I left,
more or less.
I mean, when I, you know, I see con stuff online all the time, people talking about going to a convention or whatever, and I see all the things they do, you know, cosplay or going to a particular panel or getting autographs or something, and I never have done any of those things. I mean, I don't even remember what we did at the Star Wars convention, because we went there for like a day.
Yeah.
I don't remember going to any panels. I don't know what we did do, because I see all the stuff that people typically do at these things, and we didn't do any of those things, so I don't know what we did do besides just walk around and look at stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think most people who go to conventions would think that the three times I've gone even count. Although, when I went to the Star Trek convention in Des Moines, you know, we did, there weren't very many people there, so we met James Doohan, we talked to him. Nichelle Nichols, just walking around, just could talk to her, which was awesome because she's amazing. Let's see, George Takei was there, you know, and just, it was very casual, and everybody, all these people were just walking around. You just go up and talk to them if you wanted to, which was really kind of cool. The Star Wars thing wasn't like that at all. I mean, Carrie Fisher was there signing autographs, and I think standing in line was like 2 or 3 hours or something. Some ridiculous thing like that, and we didn't do that. But, so yeah, that's my limited and unimpressive experience.
I think I understand why it takes you so long on these writing projects.
Why?
Because there's got to be a lot of shit going on in your head to do this. Because when you talk, inevitably, you always start with a premise and then spend the next hour and a half explaining how that premise wasn't true. You did it twice just now. First, you talked about how you really never go to these, and then you eventually ended up with three of them you've been to. And then you talked about how you did nothing and then went into all the stuff you did.
But I didn't do anything. I can't even think of what we did.
You talked with, you went and visited with Nichelle Nichols, Jim Doohan, George Takei.
We just ran into them there. They were just walking around.
And you were like, sup?
Yeah, kind of. But, I mean, you've been to a lot of these things.
I have been to a lot. I've also done nothing.
But you go to panels and all that stuff, right?
No, that's the thing. I'm remarkably like you in this. I have been, I should be able to give you my entire con history at this point. I have been to Minicon up in Minneapolis back in the day, for those of you in the know, this is pre-convergence, back when Minicon, in fact, I remember going one year when people were just starting, they were handing out flyers at Minicon for convergence because it was going to be all the cool stuff that Minicon didn't do anymore, which apparently is what it turned into. But I went to Minicon, that was the second time I went. I've been there twice, it would all have been back in the mid to late 90s. I've been to Icon, which is a local one here, a couple times.
Never been to that.
All the times I've been was when it was up at Cedar Rapids. I think it's now back in Iowa City or Coralville. Both of those, for the record, for those who don't know, both of those are science fiction conventions in a very generalized sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have also now been to GammaCon once. I was going to go a second time, but then this year, something happened that weekend. I don't remember what it was, but I was like out of town or something, so I was not able to go. Maybe I was just really sick. I might have just been really sick. Oh, no, wait. I think I know what it was. I think I had hurt my back. I think my injury was right around then. I couldn't go.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But anyway, so I went to that. And GammaCon is a local gaming convention, specifically. I love the idea of conventions, but I don't do cosplay. I don't generally give a damn about panels. I certainly won't stand in line to meet celebrities or get autographs or anything like that. I usually don't have a lot of money to spend with the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So most of it is eliminated right there. What I did enjoy doing at cons was socializing with other geeks that I didn't know. Usually this involved drinking, and in the early days it also tended to involve trying to get laid. So that was just what that was, and it was fairly unsuccessful as well. I liked the gaming convention was fun, except I basically hung around there to play my games, and then I did a little bit of browsing of stuff to buy, and that was it. There wasn't really anything else to do, and I didn't really want to. And at the other conventions, the times I had most fun were gaming of some sort. So I like stuff to do. I don't know, there were a couple times where I went and saw, like, movies that I couldn't have seen anywhere else and stuff. But nowadays, there's the internet, so I can see them all. So I think kind of the similar experience I had with massively multiplayer online games, too. I like the idea of it, but they're not for me. I really wish I was more into cons. Nowadays, I would only go to cons. Well, like, I'll probably go to GamerCon again just to play games. But for the most part, I would only go to cons to see other people. Like, I may one of these days go to a Happy Jacks con, just because then I can meet a bunch of people there. Or, sort of again, as an anthropologist. Like, I imagine someday going to, like, Dragon Con just to fucking watch. Just to fucking look at everybody. But we'll see. We are over time now, so
we should
probably
get this done. For some reason, this is making me think of James Marsters. Why is that? Because he's in things. He would be at a con. And
oh, I'm sure he's been at cons
many times. He played John F. Kennedy in something. Did you
really?
Yeah.
Did he have a British accent?
No, I'm trying to remember what the thing was he played. Oh, The Butler?
He was John F. Kennedy in The Butler?
Yeah.
He was in The Butler?
Yeah.
Why did nobody fucking tell me? I would have actually gone and seen that
movie. I didn't know until the day.
Wow. All right, then.
The Room, yeah. I see it's still in his wrapper.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for this week. Next week we're going to have to do two, because in 2 weeks is Thanksgiving.
Our third annual
Thanksgiving episode in two weeks. So in the meantime, enjoy yourselves and each other. Wait. Never mind. I got to go have dinner. It's everything William hates. It's scrambled eggs and bacon. but the producer's coming over here with something green she's going to throw at William.
I'm not going to throw it at him. I thought he might like to have it. Would you like me to ask on air?
Yes.
Does your family like arugula?
Yes.
I believe that's what this is. And Tony dislikes it.
I do. It tastes weird and dirty to me.
So you would like to take it home and eat.
Okay.
That's pretty much all they eat. So just arugula all day long. It's a
now
household
to
of
their house, cause
rabbits.
I don't need to have any.
All right.
Because of you.
All right, anyway, people, write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Comment on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com.
Send William Arugula and Tony Bacon.
Send William Arugula and send me bacon. .com.
Actually,
don't even know.
You could also send me beets. I like those.
Send William beets. Do not send me beets. I will throw
and
up.
Spinach. Really, just about any vegetable you could send me. but send all the bacon to.
Yes, all the bacon in the world. and that's it. And keep listening and tell other people to listen. Or not. Whatever. We love you guys.
Yes, we do.
But we love ourselves more.
Well,
actually, we love me more. We both love me more. Am I going to call this episode Retro is the New Neutral? That doesn't seem right, but I don't know of any other thing iconic that we had.
I don't know.
chain smoking Wookiee.
What?
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.